You see, just regular positive obedience is what he tells us all to do, friend. He tells us all to pray. He tells us all to study. He tells us all to watch. He tells us all some things. But there are some things that God tells you, John, that he don't tell me to do. But just because he don't tell all of us and he's telling you, you better obey him. Anybody hear me up in here? It's an individual positive obedience. Let me give you an example. He might tell one of us, listen, your calling in life, your future that I have for you is for you to go to college. All right? And when he leads you there, you obey him and you go. But for another, he said, nah, college is not the way I want you to open and start your business. Because while they're in school hungry, you're going to be making money. You can support them and buy them two for a dollar chicken sandwich.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another blessed presentation of God's Holy Word with Pastor Omar Tebow. This sermon has been recorded live at Philadelphia Christian Church right here in Lafayette, Louisiana. As always, each audio message is designed to bring you into a deeper knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's go into a sermon that's already in session.
So that's where we stopped last time. Let's pick up in 5:7. And the title of this message is Go On. Somebody say, Go On. All right. Tell your neighbor, go on.
Go on.
Tell your other neighbor, go on.
Go on.
All right. We have 3 points. The days of his flesh, dull of hearing, and let us go on. That's our 3 points. So let's begin with our first point, the days of his flesh. It starts off in verse 7, where the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard and that he feared. Remember, y'all, we was just talking about Jesus and how Jesus is the great high priest and how he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And this verse is just continuing along that, talking about Jesus, huh? So the Bible says, who in the days of his flesh, is talking about our Savior, Yahshua, in the days when he was on earth, the days when he was living, amen, on earth with us, those short 33 years before the crucifixion. The Bible says, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. The Bible commentator says that this is referring to none other than the experience of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because in that garden, he offered prayer and supplication with strong tears. Amen. You remember what happened in that garden? Amen. When he told his disciples, amen. He said, listen, I'm going to go and pray. He said, you pray lest you enter into temptation. Huh? And we know that he was praying with strong tears. Matthew 26:37 says, he took them with him, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be what? Sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. In Luke 22:44, it was so much strong crying and tears with prayer. Luke 22:44, look what it says. And being in an agony, somebody say agony. He prayed more earnestly. His sweat was as it were what? Great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So when the author of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, saying that our Lord in the days of his flesh, he was praying with strong crying and tears. This is Gethsemane, y'all. This is when he was in that garden. Listen, it was the night before he was supposed to be crucified. And for those, amen, who might not know, the reason why Jesus had so much sorrow and so much agony in the Garden of Gethsemane is because on that night before the crucifixion, amen, the weight of the sins of the world was already being placed upon his shoulders. Amen. And some people think that he was worried about the cross. Jesus wasn't worried about no cross. Some people think he was worried about Roman soldiers. He wouldn't worry about no Roman soldiers. You didn't hear what he told them, boy? He said, I can call 12 legions of angels right now, and I flip the world upside down. Knock y'all all off. Now, that's me talking, but that's not exactly what he said. All right? He wasn't worried about no Roman soldiers. He wasn't worried about no cross. Huh? This is the very God, man. Let me tell you what Jesus was worried about. Being holy from eternity to eternity. You know what he was worried about? Sin and iniquity being poured out upon him. He had never had sin on him before. This was going to be a totally new experience for him. And what was the greater problem with that is that sin separates from God. This is the other thing he was worried about. You got to understand that the Father and the Son had never been separate. That the Father and the Son were always together. Jesus had told his disciples, he said, listen, y'all all going to leave me, but I'm not alone because my Father is with me. He's always with me. You see, but he was worried about, amen, hallelujah, the sewage of our sin being poured upon him. And after the sewage and the cesspool of our sin being poured upon him, the Father's of pure eyes and even behold iniquity. Sin can't dwell with him. He has no agreement with sin. And so when sin was poured upon him, Jesus knew that there would be an alienation, that there would be a chasm between him and the Father, and he didn't know how that was going to feel. He was worried about that. He was in sorrow. He was in agony. It was the weight of the sin of the whole world, past, present, and future. So he was crying and he was praying with strong tears. And in verse 7, he prayed unto the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard and that he feared. The Bible is saying is that he prayed to the Father who could save him from death. Yeah. He prayed to the Father. Matthew 26, 39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. What did he say? Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But I love this part. Nevertheless, not as I will, not my will, but as thou wilt, let thy will be done. Come on, give God some glory. All right? That's a man of God right there. That's a perfect Savior right there. You see? In Hebrews 5:8, want to tell us about his perfection. In 5:8, it says, though he were a son, with a capital S, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. This is a deep verse right here. See, because you got to understand, Jesus was, is, and always will be perfect. Holy, harmless, and undefiled. Perfect from the beginning. He had always does what pleases the Father. Anybody hear me up in here? But some kind of way, the Son, when he came to earth, he learned some things. He learned obedience. He had to experience some things. All right? We're going to go deep here for a second. Put your mind on all the way. Turn it all the way up. All right? Don't let your mind be on 2 or 3. Turn it all the way up to 10. I want to talk with you about obedience. Say it with me. Obedience. When you talk about obedience, there's two types of obedience, and both of them are important. You have a negative obedience and a positive obedience. A negative obedience and a positive obedience. Negative obedience is when God tells you not to do something and you don't do it. You have obeyed him. That's negative obedience. An example of don't steal, negative obedience. Don't kill, negative obedience. Don't lie, negative obedience. Don't commit adultery, negative obedience. Don't lust, negative obedience. And that's an important phase of obedience. And some of us are good at negative obedience, but obedience don't stop there. There's also positive obedience. Because God will not only tell you things that you should refrain from doing, but he will also tell you things that he wants you to do. Ooh, anybody hear me up in here? That's called positive obedience. God will tell us, pray without ceasing. He's telling us something to do. And when you obey him, when he tells you what to do, that's obedience. It's a positive obedience. He tells us, study to show yourself approved. He tells us, give. He tells us, love. He tells us, be merciful. He tells us, be humble. He tells us to honor authority. So much in our scripture, we have examples of him positively. Positively. Yeah, positively telling us things to do. That's called positive obedience. With me, say that with me. Positive obedience. Two types of obedience. Very simple. Now, some of us are good at positive obedience. We do the things he tells us to do, but we're not too good at doing the things he tells us to stay away from. Others, you vice versa. When God say don't steal, you ain't got a problem. You don't steal. You ain't breaking none of the negative law, but when he tell you to love somebody, when he tell you to be merciful, when he tell you to be humble and be low, when he tell you to study, when he tell you to pray, when he tell you to fast, It's hard for you to do what God tells you to do. As believers, we got to strive to have the complete package. Both the negative and positive obedience, that was Christ's story. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. But let's go even deeper than that. I want to open up positive obedience and go in that, because in positive obedience, there's something we got to talk about here. I wish you had a pen or paper or notes on your phone or whatever. Within positive obedience, in my mind, there is something called individual positive obedience. Oh, God. Individual positive obedience. All right? This is deep, Brother Carl. Remember, positive obedience is God telling you things that you should do. All right? Individual positive obedience is this: God telling you personally things that you should do for you in your life, in your calling, in your purpose. Are you with me so far? You see, just regular positive obedience is what he tells us all to do, friend. He tells us all to pray. He tells us all to study. He tells us all to watch. He tells us all some things. But there are some things that God tells you, John, that he don't tell me to do. But just because he don't tell all of us and he's telling you, you better obey him. Anybody hear me up in here? It's an individual positive obedience. Let me give you an example. He might tell one of us, listen, your calling in life, your future that I have for you is for you to go to college. All right? And when he leads you there, you obey him and you go. But for another, he said, nah, college is not the way I want you to open and start your business. Because while they're in school hungry, you're going to be making money. You can support them and buy them two for a dollar chicken sandwich. There is a general obedience and a specific obedience. And we got to mature enough to where we can do it all. We won't do the things he tells us not to do. We'll do the things he tells us to do. But then we go deeper into our individual callings and we say, God, what is your individual plan for me? For me, what do you want me to do? You see? What do you want me to do? All right? And God does that. God does that. God might say, listen, I want y'all to adopt children. And that's your individual plan for you and your family. All right? Follow me here for a second. For Jesus, going to the cross was part of his individual, personal, positive obedience to God the Father. Did you catch that, Misha? Why can I say that? Because not everybody was going to go to the cross and die for the sins of the whole world. All right, minister, that was his individual plan from the Father. Right? When the Bible says he learned obedience, it means that he just didn't fulfill the negative obedience, the positive obedience. But when the Father said, listen, I need you to do that, I do something that I'm not asking anybody else to do. Jesus says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done.
We pray that you are blessed, encouraged, and challenged by today's message. As always, we would love for you to fellowship with us in person. Our service times are Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Also on Tuesdays, we have midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. We would really appreciate if you would consider partnering with us financially to help keep this broadcast on the air. In order to do so, simply go to the website, philadelphiacc.org, and just click the donate button. And as always, our prayer is that God would richly bless you and keep you and give you peace. Shalom.
EXCM Publishing is grateful to announce Pastor Omar's newest book, Generosity. In this book, you're going to learn what the Bible says about giving. Being armed with this knowledge, you will immediately be able to identify who's playing in church and who's real in church. Giving to the Lord is a proof of your love for Him and your devotion to Him. Generosity, Pastor Omar's fourth book. Get your copy today, available online by visiting extm.org.